Welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode 308. Very stoked to have you in the mix with us. As always, you guys are the engine that makes this thing go. I am joined now, as I am each and every week, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
So I have a few things that are up, but first, breaking news. Antonio Sabato Jr.
Dead.
Now.
Oh.
Even worse.
Handsome.
He's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
But because I guess he was he one of the keynote speakers at the...
He absolutely was, yep.
...convention?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean... Yeah. Was he Silk Stockings or he was like something like that?
Yeah, he was on some kind of soap opera, I think, General Hospital maybe. And then he was, so it was him and Bayo. Like they had all the big guns at the at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Yeah, so he is claiming Hollywood blacklisted him for doing that. But I kind of remember the 20 years before he wasn't really hot. He was in like Greco level.
Oh,
stuff.
He was below. He was well below Greco. Greco was on a fucking network show for a couple years. Sabato.
I'm saying post Jump Street with Harry Ayoki.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's hold on. Let's look it up. We're gonna go on the Antonio. Assuming he has one.
I mean, he is beautiful.
We're gonna go on the Antonio Sabato Jr.'s IMDb. Yeah, go ahead.
He had to get a regular job managing a construction site in Florida, which to that I say
nothing wrong with
managing a construction site is a good gig.
Oh yeah.
And probably way better than what was he just show off his abs? How did he get a managing? That's a great gig.
Does he, well, is it like, Bob Van Winkle, Vanilla Ice? Does he have that type of, background?
No, he's too beautiful. You can't be that beautiful. I mean, beautiful people just get tons of shit right from an early age.
That's true. Yeah, it's you almost want to be not like ugly, but you want to be like have to work for things in this world.
There's a guy in town that is so beautiful, and I look at his wife and I don't think she's attractive, but just because of how beautiful the dad is, I'm thinking maybe there is something with her just because the dad is beautiful. Like he's in the daughter's in my son's class.
Right. Yeah. And yeah.
Sometimes you just, a guy like Sabato.
Yeah.
He's never had to work for shit.
No, he hasn't. So he made his debut in a Janet Jackson video, Love Will Never Do, in 1990. Mm-hmm. Then he did a few things in Italy, apparently. And then some TV.
Well, those years, I think their president was a porn star.
Right. Oh, yeah. Cicciolina. He did some like TV. Oh, 1995. Melrose Place, 7 episodes.
Okay.
Then followed by a whole bunch.
But fine.
Right. A whole bunch of the kind of shows that were like probably on late night. Her Hidden Truth, If Looks Could Kill. This is like where he was like making out with Gene Simmons' wife, Shannon Tweed, probably.
Yes.
Then he did one episode of The New Adventures of Superman, Lois and Clark, with a fellow conservative and Princeton grad.
Dean Cain. The guy has Brooke Shields' V card.
Is that true?
I think Dean Cain took it.
Wow, I didn't know that. Then a whole bunch of shit you'd never heard of. He was in The Big Hit. I think was a real movie. I don't know how big his character is.
No, you're confusing with like the Big Sick or the Big.
No, this is 1998.
But I'm just saying, like, hit. I'm saying the Big Hit sounds like a few other, right. The Big Chill, the Big Sick, but no, the Big Hit was not a.
It's Mark Wahlberg. It's early. What? Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, Lou Diamond Phillips. Like I remember seeing this. Yeah. I remember seeing this.
In the Fear Days?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then a bunch of an episode of Ally McBeal. And okay.
But I mean, he was so beautiful. You could always, surprised he didn't have a stint as a sex object on Sex and the City.
Well, hold on. He was in something called Testosterone in 2003. Oh, he did an episode of Joey. I think he showed up and just looked handsome. Then he was on The Bold and the Beautiful, right?
Right. More his speed as an actor.
General Hospital. And then a lot of episodes. NCIS, Ugly Betty, Scrubs, one episode each, CSI New York.
So maybe he did get blacklisted.
Rizzoli and Isles. But these are all one I mean, he worked the whole time. To say he's been blacklisted is a misnomer because he has credits in every year since 1990.
Yeah.
You know, right. He's in stuff. He's always been in stuff. He's in something right now called Snow White. Mm. He plays Will.
Porn? Okay.
I don't know.
I got some really bad news this week.
Your son's basketball team made the playoffs and you're going to have to coach more?
Oh, no, but I'm fucking wrong. I'm in the playoffs, but I plan on winning that motherfucker. Oh,
nice.
Okay. I got invited to a wedding in June.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just never happy about getting a wedding invitation.
Oh, that's it. That's you've been invited to a wedding. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was invited to one of my wife's friend's weddings. But there's only been a handful of weddings that I looked forward to, but I also got invited to a cousin's wedding that's in Boston in like October. I got a save the date card. And I was thinking, well, it's in the fall in Boston.
Yeah.
So I can just skip that because I can say, oh, you know, my kid's got this or that, right. But it's happening right next to the town next to ours. And Michelle said, there's no chance of me getting out of it. So it's just looming. I'm pretty bummed out. Mm. I can't. And she's like, why don't we have a nice night? And I was like, great, let's go out to dinner that night.
Yeah, but you're going to a wedding.
Yeah, I got to hear the fucking electric slide and all that nonsense.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like weddings.
I mean, open bar.
I don't know the name of the groom or the last name of either person.
Oh, so you're not going to know anybody? That is kind of boring.
Yeah.
I thought you guys had you go to your people's weddings, I'll go to my people's weddings.
You know what?
Yeah.
I thought I had that, but I was told I don't have that for this one.
Things have changed, huh?
Worm has turned. Wow. I saw last week, I saw a story. I don't know how recent it was, but Cindy Crawford and what's her husband? Another good looking person.
Damn it. He's beautiful. Randy Gerber. And he's rich.
A beautiful couple. Yeah. Their son got a face tattoo that says misunderstood on his cheekbone.
Presley Gerber.
And he's a good looking kid.
Of course, he's a model.
My God. The cheekbone. I mean, and then a couple days later, I saw David Spade was on Stern talking about it. And he goes, what if he's suddenly understood? What is he going to do about that?
That's pretty good.
I don't get face tattoos seem like it's just, I don't want to sound like some old fogey, but that's a bridge too far to me. Like you can't ever be taken. I mean, if you have misunderstood on your cheek, you can't really be taken seriously ever.
No, and I saw it too, and it's like real kind of small letters. Yeah. So it looks like
he almost has like a line written on it.
Yeah. It's gonna bleed into itself. It's gonna look like an eye black pretty soon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like he's almost like a Nelly Band-Aid on the cheek thing. Like it's just weird. But then it also got me. I made the comment I think to Michelle, I was like, there's a good chance, and I'm dead serious about this. There's a good chance I masturbated to his mom like 800 times.
I remember when she did that Playboy. That was a big deal.
Yeah, because that was before I was getting like the free porn on the internet. You had.
Yeah.
But just the swimsuit issues when I was in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And Michelle's like, oh, I figured you. She said, I would have thought that's the amount of times you masturbated in your lifetime. Like 800 times.
What?
I mean, middle school.
What?
At least once a day. Middle school was already 1,000 right there.
Yeah.
Middle school.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Easily. You're jacking it every day in middle school. For but sure.
It would be pretty funny. I mean, I wouldn't want to know adulthood with new porn and stuff like that because these are nobody's. But I would like to know the statistics of like, which Elle Macpherson was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my statistics?
For how many times you jerked off like in your life?
No, these specific people.
Well, don't you like flip the pages? Don't you?
I'm saying you just, when I was.
You just concentrate on one?
When I was in seventh grade, I told you I'm efficient. I don't.
Yeah, you what go am quick.
I, sitting there thumbing through things?
No, I do.
I get the image and I'm gone.
Oh no, I make a production of it, and I because I like to, and I like to love myself. So I'm not gonna do it. Like I'm not gonna bang unless I don't do quickies.
Oh, I only do quickies.
Right. I like to make it an event. I like it to be really satisfying. So, and the same goes for jerking. Like I don't need. You know, I don't have
I'm
a lot
about by myself. I make it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't need like candles and music and stuff, but I do.
I hope not if you're masturbating with candles.
Right. But I got to find, so normally I use porn, although I don't know if it's that I've hit a certain age or something, but I rarely masturbate anymore.
I feel the same way. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It makes me a little bummed out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good because it's nothing sadder than the cleanup.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but it's weird how it used to be a necessary.
You gotta get it out. Life. Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's not.
I would say I average 1.25 masturbatory sessions per month.
Oh, I'm there per week.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's a normal amount. That's a normal amount. I think my testosterone's down.
I used to be like 7 per week.
Yeah, yeah. I was. I probably.
And again, I'm at home. So
right,
you work
from home. I was probably a three time a week guy, 2 to 3 times a week, pretty consistently until the last couple years where it's really toned down. And it's, if I go 2 jerks a month, that's on the high end for me. And don't get me wrong. Like I still, you know,
I'm probably still,
I like to get it in
to a week, but it used to be a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lessened, but I have a whole thing. Like I'll find a good video to like warm me up, to get me like in the mood, to get me going. And then when it's ready to go down, I'll move into the fucking gamer. I'll find a cleanup hitter that I'll have ready to go. And then I get out the lube. I put a little oil in the hand.
That's right. 'Cause you've got props.
Yeah. I got to use, I need to use some type of a lubrication to get it going. And then, you know, I usually let it go into some napkins or a paper towel or tissues.
I never
or a towel or a small thing. Or a small towel. Yeah, a sock.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. You're going to wear that sock.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah. It's, and I'm not in a, like, I don't have anybody around that I need to. Not that you have to hide it, but it's like,
Oh, you, I mean,
people would see you, those little towels and be like, hey, I saw those little towels. Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's I get it. It's a natural thing that every guy does, but it's not any, you don't want anyone discovering. Well,
yeah. I don't want somebody having that on me. I don't know. I don't care that people know that I do it, but it's like, oh, this is what you were doing yesterday at 4 o'clock when you could have been doing something. You know, it's like when they know what you were up to and when.
I mean, I just announced what I, you know, what I'm up to and what I've done, but I would never want anybody to know in the moment what I'm up to.
I like that your wife thinks you've handled business 800 times in your life.
I'm going to be 44 in a week.
311.
800 times in my life. I hit 800 times. I mean,
oh yeah,
definitely in eighth grade, I hit the 800 mark.
Oh yeah. In junior high, I mean, I would pretty consistently go a couple in a day, maybe sometimes three, maybe four.
I would say I probably averaged 10 a week in middle school.
Yeah. And then all through high school, you know, I was fucking jacking away. College, my 20s.
College was a little tougher when I had a roommate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there was one of my friends walked in on his roommate.
Yeah.
Just sitting on the burlap chair, like the school issued burlap chair. Cranking it.
No. I had a buddy. My buddy Spence. What up, Spence? He was getting ready to go out one night with our buddy Lance, and Lance was well known. Lance is like a
Lance and Spence. You hang out in Van Nuys?
Yeah, that pretty like much. Yeah. Star. Lance was like, hey, Spence, I'll come pick you up. And Spence is like, all right. But knowing Lance, that was at least 90 minutes to 2 hours later that he would show up. So Spence is like, oh, I got time. So he plopped down in a beanbag and threw in a VHS in his, he was living in a little condo at the time. And he was having a go at himself watching a VHS right there on the beanbag, but he made a fatal error. And he's probably not the only one to do this. He turned the mini blinds the wrong direction.
Oh, you can see up.
Right, so you could see down in. He had the blinds turned directly pointed at himself and not quite closed all the way.
Oh man!
And Lance walked up to ring the doorbell, and right as he was ringing the doorbell, he looked through the window and he saw what Spence was doing. He was having a go at himself, and then Lance played it off. He rang the doorbell, and Spence quickly like cleaned up and ran upstairs. Came back in a towel and was like, man. Oh, hey man, I was just getting in the shower and you got here quick. And Lance is like, yeah, no problem. Then Lance sat on that information until later that evening when there was probably about, I don't know, a dozen of us at a bar. And
that's the perfect move.
When there were girls there too. And we were a little buzzed and Lance, all of a sudden I look over at Lance and his fucking face is all red and he's laughing his ass off. He cannot stop laughing. And we're like, dude, what is wrong with you? And Spence is like, dude, Lance, what's going on? And then Lance slow, like through his laughter, told the story as Spencer's face whitened. It was quite a moment, and all of us agreed that we wish we had been Lance. We wish we had been the one to encounter that and have that memory and be able to have that information.
It is good to have something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't recall. I don't think anybody's ever caught me masturbating.
I'll tell you, one person caught me once. It wasn't a person. I remember my dog walked in.
Ooh, that's a real boner killer.
Yeah, my dog walked in and gave me a funny look.
Yeah.
And I was, I remember thinking when my childhood dog died, thinking, well, now there's nobody who's caught me masturbating.
Right. He took that secret to his grave.
He did. He never spoke.
Good guy. That's a good man's best friend.
Thanks, Riley. He came through.
And Here's another thing. I think because of lube and because of the generation that I grew up in, this is why my buddy Todd, he once had the great idea for the invention of laminated porn, because so many people masturbate in the shower. And I lost the ability to go to the mental Rolodex pretty early in life. I need that visual stimulation. So I can't, I'm just not a shower jerker. I'm not a stand up jerker. I mean, can do it. I can do it if the need be, in a pinch. If I'm out and about and I need to get one off, I could do it standing up. I'm not saying I don't have the
statistics.
Ability.
Yeah. I think I'm at like 10 in a lifetime. I'm not
stand ups.
I'm decidedly not a stand up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a laying back, relaxing type of guy. And I'm just not, I would say in my lifetime, jerking off in the shower, I would say I'm probably under a dozen. Under a dozen shower jerks, maybe like 8 or 9 in my life.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah. Some guys, that's their go-to. I think most guys, that's their go-to. They just bust it out in the shower. And it's just, you know, and maybe if somebody had, my buddy Todd had followed through on his idea and marketed his laminated porn idea.
You wouldn't need your imagination.
Right. You would have something there to get you going. But I never had that, so... Always needed that visual stimulation. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless shit.
Okay, quick voicemail.
You know what? That song, anytime I hear that song come on, but the real song,
Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Yeah. You don't like.
I think of shake. Like when that comes on in the supermarket or whatever,
CVS.
I hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just thinking of he's even worse than Ish.
Right. The great Brad in New York. Plus, so fucking boring.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. It's a fucking great jam. It's amazing. Great. Okay. Voicemail.
Hey, I'm listening to the Lala. Bachelor.
LSU Lala. Oh, he's got, this is Bachelor related. I probably should have played this on
by
my
the
other
way,
show.
I accidentally, not accidentally, but I heard the very beginning of that show.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard it before.
Yeah.
He had a great theme song.
Oh, yeah. That's also by the great Brad in New York.
Another theme song?
Yeah. It's the Bachelor lifestyle. We live in it. It's the Bachelor lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah,
he raps
then when you
it.
Started talking about The Bachelor, I was out.
Can I steal you for a minute? It's my first impression, Rose. Brian Beckner, Jay Stu, we're breaking down all the shows. It's The Bachelor on ABC with Chris Harrison. Crying in the limo home. How embarrassing. This guy's good. Yeah, all the guys that make our songs are good. Where's our?
I know, it's good shit.
Where's our sports song? Writes a Bill and or Brad in New York and or Snowjet SST.
Oh, yes, Snowjet.
And or any kind of new blood. Anybody wants to make a song, we'll give you a fair shot. Okay, let's see what Lala might be commenting on a different show here. This is bad production on my part.
And just thought of something with you and Jason talking about herpes and and virginity and about bringing that up early in a relationship.
Oh, right. So I'll just clue you in, Ed, because this is evergreen. Some chick on The Bachelor whose dad is an assistant to Bruce Pearl at Auburn University.
Oh, Michelle kept saying the head coach. And I was like, Bruce Pearl? Is her name Pearl?
Okay. No, but Bruce Pearl was on The Bachelor because they went for hometowns. They went to Auburn, and Bruce Pearl and his tan
and his shady recruiting.
He leaves every school on probation.
Yeah, he's in that same camp.
He went to the Final Four, and I'd forgotten he went to the Final Four last year, and he mentioned
they were a fun team to watch. Yeah, they were fun.
So she's there, but she doesn't mention until nearly the end of the season that not only is she a virgin, but she's saving it for marriage, and she doesn't fucks with guys that are going to be banging the other girls in the fantasy suites. And
I think that's a fair. I mean, you're contributing
1800 here.
Hang on, it's modern times.
People bang. People have sex.
I'm not talking about not having sex in general.
Oh,
but you're going to fuck somebody on day three of fantasy suites and then accept a proposal after in the same week he's fucked two people.
Hey,
no,
that's the game show. That's you go on the fucking Price is Right and you don't know if you're going to be playing Plinko or the fucking mountain climber one or the putting one. You don't know. I mean, it's insane to sign up for it. Of course.
It's insane, but it's also insane to accept a wedding proposal from somebody who's fucked two different chicks that week.
You go on Jeopardy. You don't know if you're getting potent potables. You should study for it. You're going to get a whole fucking category about opera. You're not sure. Maybe you should know about opera. It's the same on The Bachelor. It's a game show. Anyway, so I said, hey, and it's cool. I'm cool with you being a virgin. You know, if that's the path you chose, I'm all for it. Be a virgin. But, and this
don't
is what
be
it,
on the
this, exactly. But this is what, oh my God, that's my phone. This is my phone was hooked into the board because of the call. What was I saying? Oh, I said, it's kind of like having herpes. Being a virgin, you got to disclose that at the beginning of the game. You can't wait till the end, till you're about to stick it in and go, oh, hold up. You should know I got an outbreak because I got a flare up going right now. I have herpes. Like it's cool that you got herpes. You got to let me know. Yeah. You're afflicted
because this is a part of who you are.
Exactly. Yes.
If you're somebody who sometimes has sex,
right, then
you don't announce, hey, sometimes I have sex. But virginity, like, you're specifically keeping that one.
This is something I'm real dumb about, the age dog. See, I never had herpes. I mean, herpes, it doesn't go away. So once you have it, you got it. I know that much. But I never had chlamyds. My roommate one time had crabs, and I thought I was going to get it because we shared a space, but he seemed to avoid that.
Because you can just get it from, like, toilet seats and shit.
Yeah, and we would, we had, like, a little, like, garage apartment thing. So, yeah. And there was a bedroom that, like, the laundry, what used to be the laundry room, had been converted into, like, a little bedroom with a TV and a futon in it. And so if one of us had a broad back to the place, that was, you could go in there because it had a door that closed. And then the other one of us would sleep on the couch and we would just kind of like trade off that way.
Gotcha.
And so we were it was close quarters and we would like wear each other's clothes and stuff, suck each other off and all that. So it was weird. But so I never caught that. I never had chlamyds, gonorrhea, any of those. I never had anything. HPV, none of it. But here's my question about herpes. You can only get it if it's active, right? Like, just because somebody has the H dog doesn't mean they're going to give it to somebody else if it's dormant. You got to have a lesion. You got to have an active lesion to give it away. Now, also, does a rubber protect from that? Because what couldn't the lesion like be on the side and touch get you right. like on the balls?
Like, can it be on like a lower
right
part?
Right. Or are they only on the inside? And then if they're on the inside or the outside, you know what I mean?
I imagine genitals. I imagine there could be some internal.
To our herpes afflicted listeners, please reach out. Explain to me how it works. My shit is clean. I got a clean ass dick. It's fucking pristine, untouched. I mean, often touched, but unsullied. Let me know what's going on with the H-Dog. Does a condom protect from getting the H-Dog or what? How does it work? Let us know. Herpes afflicted listeners, mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com or 949-464-TBLS. Let's see. I'm assuming LSU Lala is not afflicted with the herpes, but he's got something to say about it. Let's get back to that.
If you find out that a girl has the herpes, what... I guess this is probably more so for Brian since he's back in the market, but
you know, LSU Lala really likes to allude to my dating status, my marital status here often. You notice that he was trying to match.com me
in his defense
with a widow a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
In his defense, he knows I've got nothing to offer on this.
That's true. I guess. Well, it used to be.
If any of us are going to offer something, it's not me.
And it used to be that that Jay Stu was the go-to guy, but now Jay Stu has confirmed he is in a committed relationship now. So he's off the market as well. So I appreciate it, Lala. Thank you.
How does she have to be for you to continue on in the relationship? I didn't know where that, you know, if you're going on a 1 to 10 scale, what she has to grade out to,
yeah,
for you to continue on, or
she's got to be an 8.
You know, if it's 6 or below, you adios.
No, it's 8 and above.
How do you handle that?
8 and above. So, well, one, I need to understand how the herp dog is transmitted, because I know you can get it to the face too. And that's a fucking deal breaker for your boy. You got to understand, I don't got a lot going on. All right. Other than my moneymaker, this fucking grill right here. This is all I got. If I had some lesions on this face of mine, that would be a problem for me. So one, if I were to enter into a relationship with someone that was afflicted with this condition, she would have to be at least an 8, 8.5. B, I would need specific details on how exactly the herp dog is transmitted. And it's probably available on the internet, but I'm never going to do that. So somebody call 949-464-TBLS and or mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. Ed Daly, your thoughts? Give us your assessment.
I don't think it's as obvious, because I've had some friends who have walked into it, that it's not like somebody's got a giant cold sore on their lip and you're like, oh, I'm still going to hook up anyway. I think you might not know what's happening sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's not obvious. It's not that. Yeah. I'm just saying, I think if they offer up the information, yeah, you better be really happy with this person. But
yeah.
But if you stumble into it accidentally, I get it. I know plenty of people who have.
Who you know people that have accidentally contracted herpes?
Sure.
What? Because the donor. The donor genitals.
They were with someone who wasn't aware. Clean.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's fucked. I feel like you should be able to sue for that.
Yeah, but
that should be prosecutable.
I just think in college, or at least in college, yeah, when I was there, like there were, you know, there was always some random drunken hookup that happened that you don't realize what you're getting into. A lifetime of cold sores.
Yeah. And I guess it's one thing if you don't know. I guess that's the defense, right? Ignorance is like, oh, I didn't know. I guess I just thought these things on my lip were just hereditary or something. I don't, you know. But I feel like if there's a documentable knowledge of having the H-Dog, and then you hand it off to somebody else, I feel like that's a prosecutable crime. That's actionable.
I remember they had us do a some sort of assembly senior year in high school, junior year in high school, and they showed you the type of awful shit. So we were looking at some
I remember this.
Gonorrhea slideshows and shit like that. It was bad.
Yeah, or the HPV is a tough one, because supposedly most people have it, and guys, you don't get symptoms most of the time, is my understanding.
Unless you get a Michael Douglas throat cancer situation.
Right, right. You could get that. But when you do get symptoms, I remember seeing pictures of that and being like, what the fuck is happening there? Like, I don't want that. Whatever that is, I don't want it.
Oh, I don't even know what that looks
oh,
like.
Oh, it's well, I mean, you looked at Peyronie's.
Yes.
Why don't
so
you,
I'm not looking up
why
this.
Don't you Google,
no.
Why don't
okay.
you Google genital warts right now and see what kind of pictures come up? I'm not going to do that because I'm,
all right.
I have nightmares. I can't do that. Okay. Quick email while Ed's Googling that. Brian and Ed. Per last week's convo on the hero that was punching the back of that person's chair. Not a hero, definitely not. As someone who is 6'5 and travels quite often for work, I run into this whenever I can't get an exit row, bulkhead, or first class on a last minute flight. Typically, I like to take the passive aggressive approach and say, ow, when someone moves the chair back. If that doesn't work, I just bounce my knee into the back of it like having a nervous twitch. The key to this is to make it at random, as random as possible, so they cannot get used to it. That is from Dean. P.S. When is the merch line going to drop? So I, you know, on a long flight, I definitely do recline. But if I saw a huge guy sitting behind me, like Dean's freakishly tall, I would probably refrain from just as a matter of courtesy.
My point was at 6 feet, it crushes me. So anyone over 6 feet, it's untenable. And people do not look around. They're assholes. I told you, they don't even think twice about pulling back on your chair to stand up.
That's true. That
like,
happens
that's
often.
Not gonna affect. That happens every flight, that every single often. Flight in the history of flights. People are assholes.
That happens.
But the guy who was punching, he was just being a little bitch about it. It's one thing to do the passive aggressive when you have to stand up on a flight. If somebody's all the way back, it's all right to give them a good hip check, get them, wake them up because they didn't care about you.
I would agree.
But the guy who was punching 70 times in that like clip, he just looks like a bitch.
Douche. Yeah. I mean, he got the fucking last row on the plane. You know, right. It's, I mean, you just get, I've had that row before. I've sat there many times. It happens. You know, you just got to suck it up and get through the flight.
Sat there once with a bus. That's where the toilet is back there.
Yeah, I know. It's smelly.
Good.
Horrible. As to the merchandise, so as many of you know, the Baller Lifestyle brand is in a bit of flux right now. I appreciate everybody for hanging with me, us, especially Ed Daly, who is a fucking good soldier and a good friend and just a genuinely positive influence and accepting human being. So I appreciate that from the listeners and the participants on the show. We definitely, I don't know what we would do. We might do some, maybe we do some hats or something where I can't get fucking stung on it. But a lot of people are like, if your logo was on a hat, I would definitely buy one or a t-shirt. So we could talk about that. Additionally, a lot of people have reached out regarding our Patreon account, and it's, unfortunately, I lost control of our, I never really had, I didn't run the Patreon account. I left that to someone else, and that person chose to continue to be in control of the Patreon account, despite not having anything to do with the show anymore. And I pleaded many, many times with that person to just give me the fucking password to my fucking thing. And that didn't happen. So, but it, now it appears that the Patreon has been shut down. So I don't, you guys would know better than me. I'm really, really, really fucking sorry that that happened. You guys cannot understand how much I appreciate the fact that you would fucking even dial in every week and listen to our fucking voices, much less give us a fucking dollar to hear a little bit more. That said, we're going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to set up a new subscription setup here. It's going to be like $5 a month. And Ed and I are going to start doing probably, hopefully weekly or just consistent content on there. For instance, one of the things that was suggested to us by listener Telly Tuput, good guy, likes to drink. He was saying, what if you guys started reviewing the, because we talk about it a lot on the show, the 90s, 2000 HBO juggernaut Real Sex, that show that would come on at 11:30 on Friday nights that you thought might give you some, you might be able to jack off to.
Speaking of masturbation, I would tune in and I tried many times, not many, but I tried several times thinking, all right, it's Real Sex. There's going to be some hot stuff on here. And it'd be like nudist colonies and disgusting people playing volleyball. It was awful.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be some hot swingers or group sex or something. And then you turn it on and it's flabby Wiccans that like to fuck trees. You know, it's like, what the fuck? So follow me on Twitter at Brian Beckner. Listen for next week's show and I'll announce the new subscription service that we're going to offer here. All of you that fucking hung with us through the previous situation, you guys, I couldn't love you more. I just, you'll never know.
We're going to up the content a lot.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot more. It's going to be $5. Yeah,
it was in flux.
Yeah.
We will do a lot of consistent content.
Shit changed a lot between the end of last year and the beginning of this year, but we're back rolling again. Shit's going to be, there's just going to be more for you to check out and merch. Let us get the subscription set up rolling first, and then we can talk about merch. So thank you for that, Dean. I appreciate you. I appreciate every listener to the show. You're all amazing. I love you.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the sports talk show? We talk about sports here. What's going on in the world of sports?
So, Garth Brooks wore a Barry Sanders jersey to a Detroit concert.
God, I love this.
So, a certain group of fans saw him wearing a shirt that said Sanders 20.
It's great.
And went apeshit.
Yeah, because Barry Sanders was number 20. It's a great number, too, 20.
Yeah.
As if that fucking hayseed, he's an Okie, the fucking safest, most fucking bland human being that's ever lived, would take a stand for anything one way or the other. Of course he's not supporting any fucking candidate. He's supporting the fucking almighty dollar. Like, that's, he's out there trying to make money. You think he's going to wear, like,
right, he was pandering to the local. That's right. When you go, hey, Detroit, we've been in town. Yes. You know, this is the best city. We've been on tour. They always do that.
It's what the bigger story should have been is he had that fucking jersey tucked into his Wranglers. He's not only the kind of guy that wears a jersey of a team he doesn't even support because he just happens to be in the town. But he fucking tucks that jersey in so you can see his belt buckle. Get the fuck out. Oh, wait. But I forgot Barry Sanders was an Oklahoma State guy.
Yeah.
And so was, and Garth's from Oklahoma. So what? I guess he could have worn his Oklahoma State jersey. Like, is that the?
He was in Detroit.
I get
Why
that.
Why would you wear a Lions jersey?
But does he wear a Jerry Rice jersey in fucking San Francisco? I doubt it. I think there's an Oklahoma connection there, right? I fucking know more about Garth Brooks and his stupid fucking fans, and I hate the guy.
Well, here's a strange twist of fate.
Tell me.
Chris Gaines wore a Charles Rogers jersey.
I love that he's scrubbed Chris. We've talked about Chris Gaines so much on this show.
Chris Gaines has gotten more mentions here, and I honestly cannot think of more than Friends in Low Places is Garth Brooks, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's the only Garth Brooks song I know, and I know he's sold like more albums than Elvis.
Yeah.
I know one song. Yeah. And Chris Gaines, I know zero songs, but I know he went with an alter ego, which is the lamest thing in history.
No, it's super weird. And he has attempted to, and pretty successfully, I think, scrub Chris Gaines from the internet. You can't, like, Chris Gaines made an album, and I think it's, you can't find it, and every time we talk about him, I try to use a picture of Chris Gaines as the artwork for the episode, and there's not as robust a catalog of Chris Gaines images to steal on the internet, I think, because Garth has tried to strike Chris Gaines from the fucking public record.
Well,
which is a tragedy.
The only thing this story was surprising to me because, yeah, I get it. Trump fans see Sanders 20. I get they're not good with context and everything. Right. But I was surprised there was so much outrage. I didn't think his star was burning bright these days.
He's back. He went away and came back.
But you know when like people go on those like reunion tours?
Yep.
There's not a lot of fervor over them. People don't really care about
sports. Depends
like
on
the Rolling Stones are huge.
Right.
And they sell out. But like, do people really care when they go on tour again?
I mean,
I love the Rolling Stones.
They sell out the Rose Bowl.
Right. But do people, are they passionate or they're just being nostalgic? Like, people have passion about the Rolling Stones or they're like, I love their old music. So
what's the difference?
What I'm saying. Because if Mick Jagger had a stance right now that agree with,
right, yeah,
would I care? Because he's not really current. Like he's the lead singer, one of the great frontmen of all time. But I wouldn't really care. I'm still gonna enjoy Mother's Little Helper, regardless of whether he has a bad stance on something. That's what I'm saying. Isn't Garth Brooks just in the nostalgia
category?
Well,
what if it was like Nazism? I mean, we're living in a tribal time. If Mick Jagger, you hate Trump. So if Mick Jagger was a big Trump supporter, yeah, you'd be like, fuck Mick Jagger.
I would be able to separate the artist from the art because he's not current. He's a nostalgic guy now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess Garth, and I wouldn't know. I'm sure as fuck not a fan of Garth Brooks, so I don't speak.
I would guess he's on the other side.
I would think so. He's a hayseed from Oklahoma. Like, yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Remember he tried to have a cup of coffee with the Padres one year.
Yes,
because you write a couple songs. You had to fucking go to camp.
Spring training at bat, and
I think he got a hit.
They grooved it.
Oh, like Cal Ripken in the All Star game.
That was a legit.
Chan Ho Park fucking hung one 80 miles an hour right over the plate.
Of that All Star game.
Yeah. So what are the odds? Crazy. What else is going on in the world of sports, Ed?
NFL Combine player didn't know he had 37 parking tickets until the Raiders told him.
But they leave it on your car.
It is a weird thing that you can have a plausible deniability thing where, somebody must have ripped it off. And do they check? Do they check that they gave you a ticket already?
No, they just keep fucking writing them.
But like,
they're trying to get money. They don't give a fuck.
Does anybody need to pay their parking tickets? I've only gotten like two in my life, so I paid them.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you even need to pay.
You do. You definitely do, because you go to jail.
But how? Who goes to? Do the meter maids look it up?
Whoever the car is registered to.
How did this guy have 37?
I don't know. That I don't know. Because I feel like they would come to your house. What about when they put the boot on your car?
I saw a car.
The wheel lock.
I saw a car outside the Holland Tunnel that somebody just parallel parked near a major intersection.
Yeah.
And they had four boots.
Really?
Just in case you think you're going to, because I heard one person say, I deflated the tire, slipped the boot off and then inflated it. But yeah, they gave him a four boot situation.
Wow. Quadruple and
The boots look like they were worth more than the car.
I would say. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. So is he going to get locked up? I'm sure the team will pay. I'm sure he's got enough money. The problem is that shit really adds up. You know, there's a lot of penalties involved. I got a red light, or not a red light, a stop sign ticket recently.
Oh.
And
I
probably should have fought it. Well, because here's the thing. I didn't stop. But from where the guy...
You ran a stop sign? No, like
I rolled it. There's no one around. And the cop was like set back from the intersection, like half a block.
Are you like Toni Morchette from 90210? Noxzema girl? What's her name?
Oh, she killed a kid in a crosswalk.
Because she ran a stop sign.
There was no one around. I paused. I looked around and I kept going. But this cop was set back from the corner. The thing is, I could have stopped short of the stop sign and then proceeded on, and he wouldn't have known because he wasn't in a position to see where I was. So I feel like I could have won it on that technicality. Mm-hmm. But also I would have been lying because I didn't stop. I would have had to lie and say, actually, I stopped earlier where he couldn't see me. And then I didn't feel good about that.
There are a lot. There are cameras everywhere.
That's true. That's what killed the mob.
You get caught lying. Yeah. You're really in trouble.
You can't, like Goodfellas. You know, they had to put Frank Pantangeli. What's his name? Killed him. It's Tommy.
He was from Hoboken, by the way.
Right. They threw him in the trunk and then they had to go bury him. And then they're like, hey, remember that thing? They had to go dig him up. Remember? And it was all smelly. And then, Henry Hill's car smelled real bad. And you couldn't do that these days because there's cameras everywhere. They get you driving
everywhere.
The Ring cameras. It's fucking killed the mob's whole business.
Well, it's time for Non-Sports segment, on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-Sports, I'm talking about the segment now. Non-Sports segment.
Ed, what's happening in the world of non-sports?
So I have some disappointing news to open the non-sports section.
Uh-oh.
Putting potatoes up your butt won't cure hemorrhoids, doctors warn.
I don't think there's the only cure for hemorrhoids. It's my understanding that a hemorrhoid is like a varicose vein, but in your asshole.
Isn't it cream? I thought.
Yeah, it's that like shrinks. You know, because the vein gets inflamed or something. If there's any physicians out in the world, you can explain this to me because I don't know.
Isn't that what?
Yeah, that's like shrinks it. So that's a treatment.
I've never had it, but I was under the impression you had cream and you had to sit on those donut pillow things.
Yeah, because I think they, and I'm not an expert on this. I think it flares up, but I don't, unless you got it real bad. I remember a buddy of mine had a real situation with this, and it was like bleeding and he had to go have surgery. He had a bunch of them. They had to like laser some, and then they had to like surgically repair. I don't even know, but it was in his asshole. The surgery was in his asshole inside of
that's,
it. They had to spread his, he had to like be bent over. You know those like fuck pillows that they used to sell in the back of like Penthouse magazine where it was like an angled pillow that you like bend
right.
over.
So for
you
could, leverage.
In case you can't, you need like an apparatus to do doggy style better. I feel like the regular ways always worked. I don't know. But they make a pillow for that. And I think he like the surgery, that's the position he was in. Like he was bent over a thing and they had to pull his asshole open. And then they lasered some and the others they had to do like actual surgery on. So I don't know. Are they talking like fingerling? It's got had to be a pretty small potato.
But the smallest fingerling, the smallest potatoes, my asshole has never got to that size.
It could.
Even turds don't get that. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people take some pretty big shits.
I don't know. Potatoes. Those are pretty big things. Those are pretty girthy. Yeah,
even a fingerling. Like if you froze a fingerling, you could get that in your asshole. But like a russet, a fucking what are some other kinds of potatoes?
Yeah, I just know russets.
Yeah,
and that's russet, too big. Russet would
that's too damage. Big. Come on.
That's like a double penetration situation.
Yeah, that's just too. You don't want to be. You don't want to be in that situation.
You know, as I brought up Preparation H, I remembered something and a confession I make about myself.
Oh, interesting.
Somebody recommended this on TV. Like they were just talking casually in a talk show. I believe it was on Conan a few years ago.
Uh huh.
They said, regardless of whether you have hemorrhoids, the best flushable wipes are Preparation H. And I've been a loyal customer.
Oh, because they have a medicine in them.
They feel great.
Really?
Shut
up.
I just
use the Costco ones.
I get the standard, like, cheapo ones for my boys.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In their bathroom, and I have a separate stash. We have, like, drawers near the toilet.
Shut up.
I have Preparation H wipes, and what? I've never had hemorrhoids. Never.
Wow.
But I got to tell you. Two thumbs up on the recommendation for them. They're the best wipes. Because, you know, I'm not an animal. I always use wipes.
Yeah, of course.
And if I'm going on my home game,
yeah.
I'm using the best of the best, and those are the best.
Prep H.
I'm telling
Interesting.
You, you won't regret it.
Where do you get those? Great. Where do you get those? CVS?
Amazon.
Amazon?
Yeah, you do like a bulk order.
Holy shit! I'm writing
like
this
I'll
down.
I'll do a box of eight or so, or whatever the best deal is.
Holy shit!
They're great.
Oh my god! I'm just looking into this. This is big news for me.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Another interesting warning. This is a different doctor's warning. Strong sperm could get women pregnant in swimming pools. Warns. Indonesian official.
Gonna need to see the science on that one. I don't.
Yeah. Because chlorine, I mean, I don't know what's going on. I've never been to Jakarta or Indonesia.
Yeah, I have.
But I feel like they would have chlorine in their pools. And
oh, they do. And salt water.
Yeah, that would.
It's pretty modern.
I don't know everything about everything, but. Yeah. Sperm seems like it likes to quit pretty easily.
I remember you and I were both gelded. We both willingly rendered ourselves unable to.
Great decision.
Father children, really the best. Although I will say this, pulling out never let me down. It's 100% effective method of birth control.
I just told you.
Yeah.
If I ever relied on that. I'd be in trouble.
Well, because it feels too good. You have to have discipline.
But when that train is coming through
you can't stop. You can't stop.
Come on.
Really? Because it feels too good.
I'm just telling you, I've never been a pullout.
This is the NBA player conundrum right there. Because it feels too good. But if you just take it out, waste one. You know, you don't, every shot doesn't need to be on fucking goal. Put one over the goalie's head. It's fine. You still have a pretty good average. That said, I remember after I was vasectomized, they're like, oh, we got to test your cum, bring some cum in. Make a nice hot load, bring it into the doctor's office. And I was like, oh, can the nurse help? And they're like, no. And so they're like, you have to do it on your own. So then I did it finally. Cause they're like, after you get vasectomized, you're still pissing hot for a while. Then eventually you run out of sperm, you know? But they got to check. But they're like, you got to bring us that hot, juicy load within like 20 minutes of ejaculating. It's like, you got to fucking shoot in a cup, wash your hands, and then run it straight over there because the sperm died.
You have to like hand it to a receptionist.
Yes. It's very awkward.
It's a weird feeling.
They lost mine. They're like, and then they called me like a week later and they're like, hey, actually we just found your sample sitting here and we didn't test it or anything. So can you bring us another one? And you know what?
Yeah.
I never did. I never brought him that one, but I'm pretty sure I put lots of shots. I put plenty of live fire on the range. And see, yeah, no.
What happened to
no
me
accidents.
Is
yeah.
I went through a round and I thought I was really cleaning out the tanks. And they said, you're still not good yet. I think they might have said another 50, like just put in a solid 2 months or something and then go back. And I felt like, all right, I've done my work and I never went back.
Of course not. You would know.
Cause it's awkward enough. They said it's very low at this point, but why don't you, you know, knock out another 50 or another, maybe they said another 20. I was thinking, well, if I have to knock out another 20, I'll knock out another 40 and then I won't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You'll be fine. Like it's a pretty simple surgery.
I've been pretty regular with activity and haven't had any results. So sure. I feel good.
Yeah, exactly. You're good. Trust me. You're good.
But if you're swimming in an Indonesian pool, sailor take warning.
I'm going to need to see the science and I'm not
need to see some degrees.
Yeah. I'm not talking and no offense, but not from an Indonesian university. I need somebody from a fucking accredited Western place of study to go and fucking test the water and go, oh yeah, you could get pregnant from this. Cause I'm not buying it.
Now, sometimes we have stories where the headline is pretty surprising. And sometimes like this might be the least surprising headline of all. Steven Seagal settles with SEC over undisclosed Bitcoin promotion.
Can you imagine? Could you imagine?
Yeah, that looks like a good idea.
You want to get in the cryptocurrency game. You're like, I'm fine. I read all this thing that got the one guy in Silicon Valley got super rich off it. Like, I'm going to do it. But I'm not fucking with Bitcoin. That's played out. I'm not fucking with Eleutheria. I'm trying to think of a second coin.
I only know Bitcoin. Yeah. I don't know anything
I'm doing Seagal coin. Like, are you fucking kidding?
There's a bodega near me that has what seems to be some sort of ATM, a Bitcoin ATM. And
oh, yeah.
I've always hoped somebody would use it while I was there, but they never do. I don't even understand. I thought the point of Bitcoin was it was a digital thing. What is the ATM?
So that's when... somebody, what's it called when they fucking steal, like they hack your computer and they kidnap hijack. I don't know. It's when they go on your
ransomware.
Ransomware. Yes. They hold your. I heard a whole This American Life about this. They go on your computer and they're like, "Hey, we got all your fucking dick pics and your on your daughter's christening and your fucking taxes, tax returns and spreadsheets and shit. We got them. We got all that shit. We got your podcast episodes." And we'll give it back to you, but you got to give us $800. Or, you know, if you're, they do it to a lot to like cities and businesses. And, you know, it could be like,
the city of Baltimore got taken hostage.
It could be like $50,000, but they can't be tracked. So you can't just fucking wire them the money or send them a check. So they go, there's a Bitcoin ATM at this bodega in Brooklyn. Just get on the fucking train over there. And here's the number. They give you the number and you go to the machine and you fucking take money from your account and you fucking pay it to them from the Bitcoin ATM. I heard it on NPR.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's why those exist for ransomware.
If I see somebody using it, I know someone has been held hostage.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Or they're up to some fucking nefarious shit. They're, you know, they're a drug dealer. They're trying to do shit off the grid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So illegal, no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, Steven Seagal.
Yeah, he has his own Bitcoin.
I mean, what?
I mean, yes. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's been a
long road.
He had a moment. He did Hard to Kill. He did Hard to Kill under. Well, that was one of the last ones. Under Siege and Under Siege Two. Remember Under Siege?
Was pretty good because it was Erica Eleniak.
Yeah, she was in there naked.
Yeah,
and so, the bad guy was Busey. That was a real movie.
But that was a real movie, and that was really a solid movie for a high school kid.
Yeah, no, it was good. I was into all those movies, but they were like, also like, he got kind of fat, and you realize it's kind of like Bruce Lee. It might be because of MMA, Ultimate Fighting came around, and you realized, oh, well, like Steven Seagal couldn't kick anybody's ass doing this shit.
But he wasn't even picking a real Aikido.
Aikido. It's not a real thing with the sticks. Yeah. It's where you use the other person's momentum against them. You're like, they run at you and you go, ha. And then you let them run past. Judo. Yeah. It's
poor man's judo.
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't know shit back then. We didn't have the internet. It was the 90s.
All right. 10-year-old boy was accidentally shot by his babysitter while she was taking selfies with a gun. You know the only solution to this.
If the little kid had his own gun to protect himself from his babysitter's gun.
The only way to protect against bad babysitters
with another more guns. Yeah. Is children with guns.
Is a good child with a gun.
No, what they need, what you need is a trained special forces, ex-special forces guy.
Keep them by the front door.
Yes, they're at every house where someone's getting babysat.
Reasonable. Well, yeah, right. You take an ex-military person.
Because that'll deter the babysitters from shooting the kids accidentally, because they're like, oh, right. Then there's a special forces guy here that can fuck me up, so I won't do any gun
completely
selfies.
Fair. Yeah. Completely fair. Yeah. So I did see he had a big win tonight. Mike Bloomberg.
American Samoa.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was, you know, when you start doing Oppo research and things come out, his daughter has written multiple horse romance novels.
Based in American Samoa?
Yeah. I don't know about that. I'm just saying Bloomberg has a daughter.
Is this the daughter he used to brag about getting laid? He was like, I got my daughter lots of dates on that business trip. Like, he had a whole thing about that, and she was only like 16 or something. It was weird.
Yeah, well, she's into horse romance.
We're like guys. We're people fuck the horses
lustfully. I don't know what it means, but I'm guessing there's a lot of whinnying.
I'm done with fucking horses and horse people. Fuck horses.
Horses. I rode a horse once in my life down in Argentina. Yeah. It was scary. You can't control. They're big beasts.
Yeah, they do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, I'm hard pass on horses.
They could. Yeah, all they got going for them is that they've been broken. Like, they don't give a fuck anymore. So that's you're just counting on them not starting to give a fuck again.
Michelle and I were like down in Argentina in like a by the glacier down there, Patagonia, and we were at some bed and breakfast, and they like offered like, oh, you can go for like a horse tour of the area. And I was thinking, what kind of training goes on down here? There's nobody as far as the eye can see. It's like little house, and this horse that just wants to be wild in Patagonia.
Yeah. Let it
he
run.
Can just take off, and then I have to choose how I'm going to break half my body diving off as it runs.
Yeah, something to think about. Yep, something to think about.
And it was not comfortable.
Yep,
my balls hurt after that. It's not fun riding a horse.
Yep.
Rescue jet skier said he lost his ski saving a bird.
I saw this story before, and I'm just wondering.
In what state do you think?
Well, it was obviously in Florida, and my guess is that he was jet skiing after the bird, not to save it, but in fact, to feed it to his exotic reptile. That's the fucking part of the story they're leaving out, because it's embarrassing to lose your jet ski, because we all know that's the main mode of transportation in Florida. And also, jet ski parts are the number one form of currency. So not having your jet ski is pretty embarrassing, unless you were trying to get food for your exotic reptile, which is the number one status symbol in Florida.
But maybe he made up the bird part because what he really wanted was a floating carburetor that was floating.
Right. Exactly. In the sea. That could be it too.
My front yard is missing that thing.
He saw like a pretty decent shape exhaust floating down the, the coastline, and he had to jump on it.
That car grill floating in the ocean would look perfect in my front yard. A judge resigned after using the N-word in text, and she said the public was never meant to see them.
Case dismissed. Case dismissed.
The public was never meant to see them, but she wasn't. At least she wasn't denying that error. I hate the "my phone was hacked" thing.
Take it from me.
Yeah.
Be very careful what you text people, because occasionally that kind of those it even if it's not anything that you're saying to somebody else could be embarrassing if the wrong person looks at it, and you're not going to want to text. I mean, no one's going to catch me texting the N-word.
That's what I'm saying.
That's an especially bad one.
Yeah. That I assume, I mean, even if it's Oregon, they're going to see the occasional black person. And if it gets out that they're dropping N bombs, it's not a good look for a judge. But you would see shit that would make me look bad. Sarcasm. I'm sure we texted in the last week that have been things that would look bad for me. But the N word is kind of one of those things I just know I wouldn't get caught doing.
Yeah. That's a fact, buddy. Especially as a judge.
Right. You got to be more careful, because a judge is a great gig. Because you don't work crazy hours, right? The judge.
You're very powerful. Remember that judge on The Wire? They'd go to him to get search warrants.
Yeah, and because McNulty's like old drinking buddy.
Yeah, and what's her name? Deirdre would have to like flirt with him to get him to sign the warrants and stuff. He was very powerful. Judges, you don't realize, are super. They're elected for life in a lot of places. Or if they're not, they're in a place where no one runs against them, so they're basically elected for life. Very, very prestigious job.
Yeah, it's a great gig, and the only time in entertainment that you see that they've got to work off hours is when they're trying to get a warrant, and they're like, oh, they're so put upon.
Are we gonna go wake up Judge Wilson?
Did you realize Saturday morning?
It's my fucking bridge night.
But if you're a lawyer, you might have a client. You got to visit a prison on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Judge.
Yes.
And she's dropping N-bombs like it's not going to come back and haunt her.
That's bad. That's a bad look.
Yeah. It's
really bad.
Lady Gaga's dad refuses to pay rent for a Grand Central Terminal restaurant because there's too many homeless people hanging out there. Now, Bob, I have thoughts.
Bob Gaga?
Yeah. Like Charlie Gaga.
So we're the question. I mean, homelessness is a fucking epidemic that we have all decided as a society to do nothing about. But is Grand Central Terminal, I assume that it's more of a homeless place than a restaurant place. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Now Grand Central used to be like 80s, the bad stereotypes in New York and, you know, people, junkies doing heroin and Bernard Getz shooting people. It used to be terrible. They refurbished it in the 90s. It's a beautiful old structure, but yet it's a working train station for Metro North. Yep. And yeah, there are shitloads of homeless people. And I think the guy owned, I mean, they have like kind of a high end. It's really nice, but it's still a working train station. But they have like a high end food court kind of thing. I think he owned one of those type of places. And they also have some almost like open restaurants. There's like a balcony, but there's still no like walls. You can still hear the hustle and bustle. And I had a customer, this woman from Chicago, and she wanted to go to, there was a Michael Jordan steakhouse in Grand Central. And we went there and we were just sitting on this like kind of balcony type thing. And somebody hit her with a piece of bread, like a roll.
Wow. Wow.
And she was shit faced and she propositioned me for sex.
Wow.
And she was like, but like she was never going to get it from anyone.
Did she have anything on the lip? Because that's a tell. You don't want it if they got something.
She wasn't even somebody I was considering if I weren't married type thing. She was one of those people.
I get it.
Bro. But she got hit with a roll because it was just this big open train station. It's like a beautiful building, but it's not a nice place.
Sure.
And so
it's not where people are going to dinner. Let's go to Grand Central Terminal for dinner.
I don't think Lady Gaga's dad bought that place.
Greg Gaga.
Yeah. Mm. Charlie Gaga. He didn't buy this place not knowing that there weren't just the flotsam and jetsam of society rolling through there.
Yeah.
It's a weird, you know,
right.
And the rent
came first, the homeless or the restaurant, you know,
the rent is probably staggering there.
Sure.
And he's annoyed that he's not cashing in on the Gaga thing, but no, he has to pay all his rent and he can go fuck himself. Yeah.
It's tough to make a buck in the restaurant business. Location, location, location. Have you heard that before?
I've heard it once or twice.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes we think it might be end times and then you're like, well, it's being dramatic. Well, China is sending 10,000 ducks to battle Pakistan's locust plague.
That's a lot of duck shit.
Oh, my God. I ride my bike sometimes along the water and there are a lot of geese there.
Yeah.
There's geese shit everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. I've seen golf courses are covered with that shit.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Finally, last three stories I have.
Oh, okay.
All relating to the thing that's kind of on everybody around the world's mind. coronavirus.
Fuck. Just can't stop thinking about it.
Now, what I will say to this is I've never cared about Ebola and all that stuff.
Nope.
But I recognize this is a little different.
H1N1?
Right. Swine flu, SARS, all those things. I never was concerned about it. This thing, I do recognize there's – I'm not worried just like I'm not worried of dying from the flu. But there it seems like, you know, when you see some of the estimates, it seems like this could be a thing that could – create a little more problems than Ebola for my specific community. Like, there are estimates that say 60%, 40% of the world will be exposed to it,
right?
You know, in the year. So I'm not worried about dying from it, but it does seem like it's going to be like a violent flu that could cause, you know, problems, but I don't care that much. But there's a lot of stuff going on and people trying to figure out and people playing doctor. And 38% of beer drinking Americans.
Yeah.
So it's a big chunk, but
quite a bit. We drink a lot of beer in this country.
In that mid 30s range is also mid 30s of certain leaning of, but they of politically people. But anyway, they will not drink Corona beer because of the coronavirus. They've announced they.
I mean, that's so stupid.
Right. But that 38% seems very similar to another 38%. So I'm wondering if there's a. What's the Venn diagram going?
It's a big circle. It's a big, big red circle.
So police are thinking, hey, let's jump on this whole coronavirus fear thing.
Right.
Let's issue some fake warnings of meth tainted with coronavirus.
Right. Yeah.
And we'll put it out on the town, like Facebook page.
A lot of meth addicts, you know, going on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Cause I was thinking, like, when you're about to do meth by purchase meth, you're thinking, all right, let's first survey the town. See how the police
see if there's any warnings.
Yeah, let me go follow. Yeah, what's that police force I follow on Twitter? Let me see what they're doing. And then, oh, no shit! All right, I'm gonna have to lay off the meth. I mean, because you know when I'm doing meth, I'm thinking the one thing I can ensure is that I'm gonna have a healthy future, and I would hate to get a disease that could potentially kill 2% of us meth users.
I get that this meth has Drano in it and acetone and all sorts of fucking chemicals I can't name. But you're also telling me it has a virus in it? Well,
that
fuck
can kill
that.
2% of us? Right.
You mean I might get a bad cold from this?
If there's one thing I don't want, is a 2% chance of dying. I mean, I'm a meth user. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's a bridge too far.
Our final story is a poster or something that the CDC issued. And I thought you would have some thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
They've issued a facial hair warning chart for the coronavirus, and they listed what appears to be about 40 different facial hair looks and what is appropriate and not appropriate for, I guess, snaring the disease. Obviously, clean shaven. That's a pretty good setup for not for having, I guess it's for wearing a mask.
I'm really annoyed that you've made me look at something that says chin curtain. There's
curtain.
Names for all these?
They've got a Zappa.
Garibaldi? Like
Frank Zappa. The extended goatee gets an X. Chin curtain gets an X.
Van Dyke will suck your dick. He's got Van Dyke's. I mean, he's trying to tell you.
Verdi, Giribaldi, Bandholz. Who are they? What?
Balbo.
Oh, wait.
Balbo's safe. So is Anchor. Oh, villain.
I mean, Handlebar, you feel good about that. Yeah. Chevron. Yeah. What is Chevron?
Well, that's it's like the, like a, it's like
that's
the
what
shape.
You got, right?
Well, hold on. Where is Chevron?
Third row, second from the right.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. That's just like a right. That's a dad stash. That's a dad stash.
Yeah. You're not going painter's brush. You're more Chevron.
Yeah. I'm not like James Van Prague over here or Larry Zonka with the walrus.
Yeah. That's full Zonk right there. Yeah. Why wouldn't you call it a Zonka?
You don't see the toothbrush anymore. Back in the day, the toothbrush was a very, very, you know, they, in World War One, everybody went with the toothbrush because of the gas masks. That's that. You see how the toothbrush has a green check mark?
But, you know, I just would like to think the CDC would say, give the toothbrush an X, even though they gave it a check mark, because they're thinking, well, a mask could cover it. But aside from Michael Jordan, nobody's had a toothbrush since 1945.
No. Yeah, that went it went down in the bunker. That was the last we saw the toothbrush.
How about right above toothbrush, the Houlihy, otherwise known as the Chester A. Arthur.
Yeah, that's the
who has that?
That's the
even hipsters. Does anyone have the Chester A. Arthur?
No, that's like unless you were on the 1885 Cincinnati Redlegs. You don't have that, but it's a sweet look. You know who
Johnny Cakes is right next to him, the horseshoe.
Yeah, that's pretty. I wish I could grow that. If I could grow a horseshoe, I'd have one right fucking now, but it doesn't grow on the sides. I don't have that setup. There's big gaps in there, or I would have a horseshoe.
It's pretty interesting, and the names are pretty interesting. But there's a lot of creative facial hair on here.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. The Zorro, English, the Dali. Whew.
Oh, Dali is it handlebar? Where is that?
It's a bottom right corner. It's like,
oh yeah, you can't. Right, that's Raleigh fingers. I would think the Dali is actually right next to it. Dali. Did they point up or out?
Well, he waxed them way out, I think.
Yeah.
Raleigh Fingers is more the villain.
Oh, yes, he is.
His
careful not to cross the seal. Right. Like, he'll have to extra curl them.
Yeah. And Raleigh Fingers,
on a mask.
Raleigh Fingers did that. He curled it up. You think Raleigh Fingers is still going with that look today? Because he was really tied to it. And it was a sweet fucking look. And here's the thing. How fucking old is this guy? You got to remember, Raleigh Fingers was rocking that look when he was a major leaguer. He was probably like 31. That's crazy to think about. Like, Raleigh Fingers was 29 years old and he fucking tied his ass to that look. And he's probably in his 70s today and he's still rocking that.
Yeah, that's like Bob Ross. He happened to have a perm before the first show and they're like, oh, you can't change that. So he had to have a perm the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's a tough, tough way to go. I mean, Mike Brady ran into that, you know? He had the straight hair, he had the cap, and he switched up to the perm, that was his look.
Straight wasn't his look, though. No.
Well, he was a serious actor. He was Shakespearean.
Yeah.
He didn't like the direction of that show.
He did a lot of dinner theater after that. That was the thing. He protested. He didn't like the direction of the show, and then he left. But keep in mind, there's only so many big gigs in a actor's lifetime. He probably should have wrote it out a little more.
Yeah, I agree. You only get that one job, you know, and you just kind of got to go with it.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
That'll do.
Excellent CGC. Job. Yeah, really, really. We gave you guys a lot of information this week. Follow us on Twitter so I can give you a heads up on where to contribute to the new subscription portion of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. And if you're not up for that, you just listen to the regular one. We're here every week for you. We love you guys. For Ed Daily, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 308 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. But she's known We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man. No one is above us. 5-star. Even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man. It really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.